Now, how much the Bible has to say about the subject we just read to you from Galatians 3, how Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, that the blessing of Abraham might come on even the Gentiles, on all who believe in Christ who died for our sins. And how contrary God's word about this is to man's opinions on the subject. Let's just consider a few verses from God's word as to the purpose of the law. We'll take them from just one book, Paul's letter to the Romans. Romans 3, verse 19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth might be stopped, and that all the world might be brought in guilty before God. That's what he says is the purpose of the law. The next verse, therefore, by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. How contrary this is to what most people think. They think you're supposed to obey the law in order to please God and get to heaven. No, he says, you've already broken the law. Now do you think that obeying some of the laws will save you? Oh, no, you can't justify yourself in God's sight because he knows all the laws you've broken. Verse 28 of Romans 3. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law, entirely apart from works, good or bad, and I say the good with quotation marks around it, entirely apart from disobedience or obedience to the law. We conclude, he says, that a man is justified by faith apart from the law. Romans 5, verse 20, the law entered that the offense might abound. And Romans 7, 13, that sin by the commandment might become or might show itself exceeding sinful. Now, in the light of all this, is it any wonder that Paul declares in Galatians 3, verse 10, as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. God said this when he gave the law. In Deuteronomy 27:26, we find those words, you're cursed if you don't do it all and continue to obey every bit of it. And here we are, every one of us, have broken God's holy law. How grateful we should be then for verse 13, where we read, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. Do you get the line of teaching here? He says we're all cursed. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all of it. You say, well, I'm not a Jew. That was a contract between God and Israel. Well, that's true, but it nevertheless affects the Gentiles, for we are as unable to keep the law as were the Jews and as are the Jews. For want of a better illustration, let's suppose that the British government had a law on its book which I could not possibly keep. Well, you say you wouldn't need to keep it. You're not British. True, but the point is that I couldn't even become a British subject because I can't keep that law, even though the British might not be able to keep it perfectly either. This is why he says in Romans 3, 19, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that all the world might be brought in guilty before God, and every mouth might be stopped. And that's why he says in Galatians 3:10, cursed are those who don't keep it. But thank God, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. He was made a curse for us, because it says about the worst of the law breakers in Old Testament times, that they had to be stoned to death and then hanged on a tree. And here in Galatians 3:13, thank God for that wonderful, wonderful truth. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. That comes from Deuteronomy 21, verse 23. But he goes on. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. What does he mean by this? Why doesn't he say Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, that the blessing of Israel might come on the Gentiles? Well, simply because Israel too was condemned by the law. So he goes back before the law to Abraham, who was not only the physical father of the nation Israel, but also the spiritual father of all believers. Remember, you who have been listening for the last week, a few weeks ago we saw it, Galatians 3:6. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, that is, those who believe, the same are the children of Abraham. Verse 9, so then, they which be of faith, those who act on the principle of getting salvation by believing in Christ, they that be of faith are blessed with faithful or believing Abraham. But what is meant here in Galatians 3:14 by the phrase, the blessing of Abraham? Well, when Abraham believed God, and God counted it to him for righteousness, wasn't that a very great blessing? I think there is nothing that so disturbs man, that makes him so deeply unhappy, as the feeling that God is displeased with him. But can you think of any greater blessing than to know that God has not merely pardoned or forgiven us, but has justified us because our sins have been paid for and the record cleared? Now that is true of you if you are trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. If you truly believe God's word, you are blessed with believing Abraham. That's why the Apostle says in the end of Romans 4 and the beginning of Romans 5 that Christ was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification, or really on account of our justification. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what a great, what a rich, rich blessing to be justified and so to have peace with God. It's more than 40 years ago now, nearly 45, that I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. That those blessed words really dawned on me. Christ died for our sins. Think of it. is nearly 45 years ago, and do you know that I have never once doubted my salvation from that day to this? I have enjoyed peace with God. I've known that even when I failed Him, He still loved me, perhaps with a love that hurt, but He still loved me. I am His, and He is mine, and as the song says, heaven above is softer blue, earth around is sweeter green. Something lives in every hue that Christless eyes have never seen. Birds with gladder songs o'erflow, flowers with deeper beauty shine, since I know, as now I know, I am His and He is mine. Well, let's look now at the opening verses of Romans 4. We've strayed a little from Galatians 3, but we have not strayed from the subject. This all confirms what Paul says in Galatians 3. Now listen to Romans 4, the first few verses. What shall we say then? That Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found, that is, the old nature. For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to boast, but not before God. God can see right through all your boasting, my dear friends. And if Abraham should boast, oh, he wouldn't dare to boast before God. He wouldn't try it. He knew that God knew about his wife and how he called her his sister in order to save his own skin. He knew some of the other great failures in Abraham's life. But Abraham was justified by faith. He says, if it were by work, he'd have whereof to boast, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith, his believing, is counted for righteousness. How wonderful. May I read it again? And will you listen a little more carefully this time, my unsaved friend? Will you remember, I'm not telling you what I think. I'm telling you what God says. He says, if you try to work your way into heaven, then it would not be grace. Then it would be a debt that God owed you, and He doesn't owe you anything. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly. If you believe on him who pronounces the ungodly righteous, those who believe, to him that does that, his faith, he says, is counted for righteousness. And he goes on, even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without work. Now do you see what he means when he says that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon us? Ah, what a blessing Abraham had. Just to leave it all with God, he says, I can't do it. He just believed God, that's all. And God says, this man trusts me. That honors God. God says, what can I do but save him and justify him? Notice now, he goes on to say that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. This blessing always comes through Christ. Romans 4:23, being justified freely by God's grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 1:7, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. Galatians 3:13, right here, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, for it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. My unsaved friend, don't you want this blessing? The joy of knowing your sins have been paid for and put out of the way, and that now God pronounces you righteous because he sees you in his beloved Son. When A.C. Dixon died, he had a very unique experience. He didn't believe in any significance in dreams, but shortly before his death, he had a dream that strangely was very true. He called his son. He said, "Son, you know, well, I place no confidence in dreams, but I had a dream. It was so sweet, I want to tell you about it. I dreamt that God was opening the book, and the book of life in heaven. And he said, you can come now, you can come. And I said, oh Lord, I can't come into thy presence and into heaven, I'm such a sinner." And he said, he turned to the book and he looked again and he said, "Yes, you can come." I said, "Lord, oh no, I'm not good enough for heaven." And he said, "There's nothing against you here." And he looked again and he turned to me again. He said, "Yes, you come. There's nothing against you here." That's exactly true about every believer. Christ came for our sins. He died on Calvary, not for nothing, not as an accident. He didn't die an untimely death as a martyr. He came to give his life a ransom for many, to be testified in due time through the Apostle Paul. Most of you know that Mrs. Sam went to be with Christ last November, and though suffering dreadful pain, her good cheer continued to shine through as long as she was able to express herself. And some who observed it said, well, it was good she could look at it that way. One man said, it's wonderful how she conditioned her mind to meet that test. To all of them, I said, no, you haven't got that right. She experienced that peace and that joy because she simply believed God's word and trusted Christ as her Savior. And she knew that soon she would be with him. So you see, Paul, who lived after the covenant of the law had been abolished, points back to Abram, who lived before it was even instituted, and he says, you see, he just believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. Now you do the same. You have more reason to do the same, my friend, for you know the basis on which now God can pronounce the sinner righteous. It's because Christ died for our sins and took away every claim that the law had against us. One more question. What does he mean here when he says that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith in verse 14? Does he mean here that we're going to receive the promise of miraculous gifts like at Pentecost? No. The promise that the Spirit has made. We read about it in 1 Corinthians 2, 9 and 10. I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Some people think verse 9 refers to heaven. Oh no, it refers to this present dispensation of grace in which we now live. For he says, God hath revealed these precious things to us by his Spirit. Oh, my friend, don't be like the foolish Galatians who desired to be under the law and work your own way to heaven. Don't try to work your way to heaven. You've already failed. All of us have. Rather, thank God for the riches of his grace offered to us because Christ died for our sins. What a prospect, child of glory, does the future hold in store? By the wildest flights of fancy, thou couldst never ask for more. Heir of God, joined heir forever with his own beloved Son, God could not, till you have promised, more of bliss than he has done.